We would like to welcome you to the January 10th, 2024 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. If you're joining us virtually, please make sure that you're muted. And if you're joining us here in person, please make sure that your phone is silenced. Signed postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the project. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. We currently have nothing on the consent agenda this month, so we'll go ahead and move on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for the approval of the agenda for today's meeting?
Gwen, so moved.
Thank you, Ms. Gwen. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. The agenda has been approved and passed. The approval of the meeting minutes from December 13th, 2023 were attached to the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the previous month's minutes?
Approve.
Thank you, Mr. Hool. Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any
aye.
Opposed? Okay. With that, the minutes have been approved and passed. There were also no items requested to be removed from the final agenda this month, so we will move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. Number three, the petition of Rethink Studio 23-005890-COA, 312 East Oglethorpe Avenue, additions, alterations, and fences. The petition of Sotil & Sotil, LLC, 23-005882-COA, 135 Lincoln Street Addition. The petition of Principles of Design, 23-006237-COA, 521 East York Street Fence Rear. The petition of Womena Architects, 23-005347-COA, 409 West Taylor Street Non-Contributing Demolition, New Construction Small Part 1. The petition of Hanson Architects, PC, 23-006366-COA, 124 West Taylor Street, New Construction Small, Parts 1 and 2. And lastly, the petition of J. Elder Studio, 23-006367-COA, 103 West Taylor Street Fence. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
Higgins, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. There were also no requests for extensions this month, so we will move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance or questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to those public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member two times for comment. You do not have to provide comment if you do not have any. If you're joining us virtually, please make sure that you locate the control panel and use the raise your hand feature if you wish to submit a comment that way. I will be notified and then call on you by name. And when you come up here in person, please make sure that you submit your name for the record and keep your comment to 3 minutes or less. First item on the regular agenda is the petition of AD Collaborative, 23-006354-COA, 144 Drayton Street Rehabilitation and Alterations.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations to the exterior of the property located at 144 Drayton Street. As per the application that was submitted to you all, The proposed design changes include exterior alterations to the facades along Drayton Street, Oglethorpe Avenue, and York Lane. They are proposing the installation of new storefronts and windows, doors, and ramp, and an accessibility ramp are proposed as part of the alterations. There are no other alterations proposed in terms of the existing parking, which is accessed via Drayton and Oglethorpe. This is an interesting building. I'm sure we're all quite familiar with it. It was constructed in 1973 on a corner lot. The history of the site, as noted in the staff report, here are a few photos. On the upper left-hand corner is a photo of the view from Oglethorpe. You'll see that the recessed front entrance facing Oglethorpe is currently boarded up. What's interesting about that entrance is it's actually recessed, and there is a staircase there that provides access to the second level, as I understand it. The upper right-hand corner picture shows a view looking across Drayton Street. There's another, I would argue, almost primary entrance fronting onto Drayton Street. There's a canopy, a metal canopy, over that entrance. We went back and did a little research on the site. It has changed over time. There was at one point a one-story gas station on the site that was set back quite a bit from Drayton and East Oglethorpe. As we understand it, my predecessor from a few predecessors back had done some research on this, Ellen. We believe that there may be a little bit of that original filling station on the east side of this that you can see from the lane. Very little. It may have just been when they were building this building in 1973, they decided they wanted to save some money, and so they kept, you know, a little bit of a brick wall. But otherwise, that building is gone. So what we're dealing with now is a non-contributing building from 1973. In terms of the findings, although this is a non-contributing building, staff wanted to kind of bring this out as a discussion matter with the board, because this is one of those buildings that kind of falls into that right on the cusp of, you know, it's now 50 years old. And whether buildings like this should be looked at more closely by the board and staff in terms of how they should be treated. If this were a contributing building, it's staff's opinion that some of the proposed alterations would not be compatible with the Secretary of Interior standards. In particular, and I'll walk through the submittal packet, the proposed removal of the wood cornice detail and its replacement with stucco would not be compatible with the Secretary of Interior standards, as well some of the alterations to the two entrances. That being said, it is a non-contributing building. So in terms of the standards that we are applying, staff is generally comfortable with what's being proposed. As noted, I'm going to go through the switch over here to the submittal packet. Here's the building. And I'm going to zoom in a little bit. And the owner, the applicant, is here and here to answer any questions that you may have. His name is John as well. This is the wood cornice that I was talking about. This is proposed to be replaced with stucco. The applicant is saying they want to use drivet. That's not permitted, so we are recommending that that would be true stucco. The canopy, the metal canopy that you see right here, originally matched the cornice detail. This was also wood, which we thought actually was kind of nice. They're proposing, again, it meets the standards for it to be metal. That's fine. They're also proposing a ramp right here where my cursor is to provide access. We're fine with that. They are proposing the replacement of the doors here. Staff does not have an issue with that. The issue that was raised in terms of visual compatibility is that, although this is not truly a symmetrical facade, there is some symmetry to it in this portion. And so staff did raise some concerns about, I'll walk you through the design for this entrance in that it would end up with a truly asymmetrical design for this facade. So I'm going to just walk you through it a little bit. Hopefully you're having some issues. This is the entrance that I mentioned that is recessed, that fronts onto Oglethorpe. Again, there's this interesting kind of staircase that provides access, as I understand it, to the second floor. I'm sure the applicant can provide but more detail on that. But here, so primarily what we're talking about here is work to these two entrances and then adding the accessible ramp. Again, there's this slightly unusual situation with parking that if people pull in off the two streets, but that is not part of this application and not part of what is being reviewed today. Just gonna, so, as I mentioned, and I apologize, a little trouble with the technical, here we go. Okay, so this is the entrance fronting on Oglethorpe, and as you can see, it's actually recessed, and here's that staircase I mentioned. So what the applicant is proposing to do is to demo all of this and put in a new entrance storefront, glass storefront entrance here that would be in alignment basically with the facade. And then here again, replace the existing entrance and then add the accessible ramp. Here's, you can see the south elevation that's fronting on Oglethorpe. Again, this unusual situation. It is, that's all going to be removed, or is proposed to be removed. This is the west elevation that faces Drayton Street. Again, they're proposing to remove this. They're not proposing to change these windows, the punched windows that I think architecturally add an interesting vertical element to what is basically a simple box. So here's the proposed plan, first floor plan, which again would have this new storefront fronting onto Oglethorpe and a new storefront or entrance, however you want to phrase it, fronting onto Drayton with a ramp, which is reasonable. We understand accessibility is very important, and it's, as proposed, we think it's being done in a sensible way. There's some minor just alterations being proposed on the lane elevation, which we did not have any concerns about or issues with in terms of complying with the standards. This is the proposed south elevation. So again, this is what is currently that recessed area with the staircase. So what they would be doing is pulling that up and making it basically a glass infill. And then this is the elevation facing west onto Drayton. This would be the new doors. This is the new accessible ramp, which again, staff, I feel, is very supportive of. So I'm going to go to recommendations. Bear with me here as I So we are recommending approval for the request for alterations to the property located at 144 Drayton Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And you have to bear with me, I'm new, but I'm used to doing these slightly differently in another city. But one of the conditions we're recommending is to study the proposed alterations to the entrance facing west on Drayton Street in order to retain more of the symmetrical design, in order to have it be visually compatible. We think it's a little bit awkward the way they're doing it. In terms of the replacement of that wood cornice detail, since this is a non-contributing building, it does meet the standards, but the use of drivet is not, does not meet the standards. So we would just ask that they use true stucco for what they're referring to as the frieze panel, the cornice, in order to meet the standards. And then this may be a question for the applicant, and I know his architect is not here, but it's probably something we can work out with his team. We just wanted to make sure that the door frames meet the standards in terms of being inset 3 inches from the exterior surface of the building. It's a little bit unclear whether they did or not. So with that, any questions from you all?
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Go ahead.
Jonathan, the removal of the stairwell in the, I guess it's the southern of the
elevation.
Since it's exposed, I'm going to call it the facade. Does that create any real issues for you as the property is non-contributing at the right now?
That's a great question. Yeah, no, to answer your question directly, as a non-contributing building, no. I think if this is being treated as a non-contributing building, the idea of pulling that entrance up more to the front facade would be appropriate. I think it's visually compatible. If this were a contributing building, I think you could make the argument that that recessed entrance was part of that integral to the design, whether you personally liked it or not. It would be a character defining feature. It's not something that people, as I'm sure you know, nowadays you don't see that kind of thing for a host of reasons, not just architecturally, but in terms of safety and accessibility. You wouldn't see that. It's definitely a period piece from the 60s, 70s where people kind of did that. But in terms of how we're treating this, given what it's classified now, we think it's visually compatible as long as it's set back that distance that I noted.
Any additional questions?
Yes. So even though this is being discussed as a non-contributing building, has staff undertaken actions to decide that it is a non-contributing building versus could be a contributing building now that it is, while it is outside of the period of significance, it is now 50 years old. Has the architectural style been reviewed? Because it seems to me it's a fairly intact version of kind of a brutalist architecture. Has staff taken that research and said, no, this is a non-contributing building. It contributes nothing to the significance of the district.
Just to clarify your question, are you asking if we should request it to be added to the contributing building list, like if that has been determined by staff?
Staff just decided, yes, it is a non-contributing building.
And there's no potential for it to be added.
Correct.
There you go.
It's a great question. To answer your question directly, we have not made a formal determination, I guess, internally about whether this should be contributing or non-contributing. But as noted, as what I have up before you, that's why I put in the section on the Secretary of Interior Standards, because to me, the question was raised, you know, this is 50 years old. Does it meet the criteria for listing as a contributing resource? And I may be doing this incorrectly, was bringing it to your attention to see mm-hmm. whether you all had thoughts about that, which you obviously do.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi. Johnny Yang, I'm here for the petition. I'm here for my architect. She couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Okay. Do you have anything that you would like to say in response to some comments or questions that have been brought up by the board?
In terms of the staircase, before we brought it up on the exterior, there's been more than a few occasions where homeless were mm-hmm. sleeping on top. So my neighbors approached me and wanted me to do something about the staircase. And the best way is to remove it and have a new storefront. Otherwise, if I don't do anything, homeless people are just going to be there. And my neighbors wouldn't like that.
Okay.
So I'm trying my best not to alter as much. So any other questions?
Yes. Does anybody do you want to ask some questions?
Just Is there any reason you couldn't just do the glass infill on the Oglethorpe Street side, leaving the staircase intact?
So have a glass outside and then the staircase is inside the...
The staircase is inset. So couldn't it just be sort of enclosed with a glass facade, leaving that staircase and the interior recess intact?
This is a good question. I don't think aesthetically it would look right. I mean, what I'm proposing to do is a simple retail storefront system, and it's common. I'm trying to think where downtown where there's a staircase enclosed and then glass outside. So, but I don't know how to answer your question.
Does anybody else have any other questions? Go ahead, Tom.
To follow up with that question, which I can envision what you're saying. What are you going to do with that space that's there now? That'll be there when you tear out the staircase.
So my intention is to lease to a tenant, retail tenant, and I assume they will want like a common storefront looking. So.
Okay, thank you. That answered my question.
Does anybody else have any comments or questions for the applicant?
I was just going to say, if that's enclosed and the staircase is behind it, later on they can tear it down.
Because now it's
interior. And that's, it's reversible.
Right. So.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment on this one? Please make sure that you state your name for the record. You need to turn on your mic, Sue. Just got to turn it on.
It wasn't on. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
So I'll say it again. I'm Sue Adler with Historic Savannah Foundation. Overall, HSF agrees with the staff's comments regarding the symmetry of the Drayton facade plus the need for true stucco. However, we would prefer a continuation of brick with detailing at the parapet. I think that would look better. And then something that I don't think is your purview, but we wanted to go on record as commenting on. We would like to note that the owner appears to be sort of using the public right-of-way as its own private parking area. The site plan with property lines does not show how the corner is parked. I would hope that HDBR, with perhaps the city and the owner, would discuss this a little further. Maybe introduce materials at grade to reflect the change in public space versus private, or even ask to remove the curb cut at Oglethorpe. We feel that this is a poor use of public land and erodes the quality and character of the corner site.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you all.
Do we have any other public comments? One second, you'll get a chance to respond. No other public comments? Okay. Would you like to respond? Come up and respond. Just make sure you state your name again before you respond.
Hi, Johnny Yang. So in terms of the parking spaces, these are grandfathered in, and I have a letter from the zoning office stating that it's grandfathered in. So, and it's, I don't know what else to add.
That's fine. Thank you. Just to go on record to say parking is technically not in our purview anyway, but we understand why HSF made the comments that they did. And maybe that can be some collaboration later on, personally between you guys and the property owner to beautify and better use that corner, considering the parking situation. Okay. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be accepted. Mr. Higgins, I will start with you.
I think this is a case that probably should be continued so that staff can work with the owner a little bit more. I'm not convinced this is a non-contributing building, obviously. I think there are opportunities to preserve a 1970s brutalist architecture building, which we may love or hate, but it's still a fairly significant architectural period. Mm-hmm. There are ways to do this project that would be reversible. For example, the glass enclosure of the staircase. I really don't see any reason to remove the wood frieze from the top because it's very visually interesting, and to replace it with blank stucco does nothing to enhance the building. Okay. So I would like to see this continued and for the owner and staff to work together to see how they could possibly refine this project to keep the building as intact as possible. The only aspect of it I see that I have absolutely no problem with, obviously, is the ADA ramp, but that again is reversible and can be accommodated with the way the building is right now.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. I just want to go on record and say that I agree with you. I think there can be some more sensitive things done just in the case of the future that it is considered contributing, because it is so intact in the future. Go ahead, Mr. Hull.
I agree with the first commenter's opinion about a continuance to work out some of these issues and maybe discuss what could be done with the building in light of its gray area of
Ms. Rowan?
I agree with the continuance.
Ms. Quinn?
Just to make it a matter of public record for this meeting, something that was discussed in pre-meeting and has come up a few times before, the board would like staff to engage in conversations with the city of Savannah to discuss contributing versus non-contributing and the extending of the period of significance for these these buildings or structures that kind of fall in that gray area. I think that it creates a unique challenge for this board as well as property owners to kind of be in an unknown. So some clarification on how that is handled and addressed moving forward would be pertinent to this in particular, but all cases moving forward.
Yes, thank you for making sure that you put that as part of the meeting minute conversation. Mr. Thompson.
Excuse me. I'm in agreement with what I've heard so far. Mm-hmm. I think just to add on to the last comment a bit is that it's important that when people buy the property, they know what status it is, because it makes a big difference on probably the price and what happens to it. So it's important that conversation happens and gets resolved in a reasonable time frame. I just like to add too, and it's not our purview, but that corner would never get approved with all that curb cut
today. It definitely would not.
And you know, if they did comply, there would be a drive-through on Drayton. That would be it. Get in one way, out the other, and nothing on Oglethorpe. But okay, I've said my piece. It's not our purview, and just want to say that.
Mr. Becker.
I would concur with continuing this, with the looking at the opportunities to restore or retain as many of the features as we have, including the cornice as opposed to stucco, and then also looking at the canopy that's on Drayton Street, what opportunities there are to meet what it was historically.
Okay, we'll go around one more time. Mr. Higgins.
No additional comment.
Mr. Hull.
Nothing more.
Ms. Rowan.
No additional comments.
Ms. Gwynn.
Nothing more.
Mr. Thompson?
No more comments.
And Mr. Becker?
Nothing.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion.
Higgins.
Okay.
With regard to,
I say, can we go back to the, there we go.
There we go. With regard to 144 Drayton Street, file number 23-006354-COA. I move that Savannah Downtown Historic Board Board of Review continue this petition to the February 14th, 2024 meeting so staff and the owner can better work to minimize changes to this building and keep those changes as reversible as possible.
Second, I'm taking notes.
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Okay, current motion on the floor is to continue the petition to the February 14th meeting in order to allow staff and petitioner collaboration in order to minimize the exterior changes and to also ensure that they are reversible. And then that was seconded by Ms. Rowan. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been continued to the February 14th meeting. The next item on the regular agenda is the petition of Homestead Architecture 23-006362-COA, 114 West Liberty Street, new construction accessory building, parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. As you noted, the application is for the property located at 114 West Liberty Street. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction accessory building parts 1 and 2 for the construction of a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property. This site is currently used as an open parking area. The proposed two-story carriage house would have a footprint of approximately 576 square feet and rise to a height, and would be 23 feet 6 inches wide and 24 feet 6 inches in depth. The first floor is proposed to have 2 parking spots with a staircase to the second floor, while the second floor would consist of a 1-bedroom, 1-bath apartment. I'm sure you all are very familiar with this site. The house in question, 114 West Liberty Street, was constructed in 1841. It's a contributing resource within the Savannah Downtown Historic District. The image you have up here, upper left-hand corner, is the front elevation. And then the rear elevation and the surface parking that I was talking about. Staff did some research on the site. You can see the red arrow here, which I hope is clear, which shows the existing building. Whitaker Street is to your east, right here where my cursor is. Sadly, in my personal opinion, there's been a great deal of demolition that has occurred within these two blocks, both in terms of buildings that front onto Liberty and Perry, but also onto Perry Lane. And so when you look at this historic map, you may say, which house is this? And the reason is everything that where I'm showing right now to the east is gone, and this is a surface parking lot. In addition, on the lane, many of the original two-story carriage houses that were a variety of both masonry and frame structures have been demolished and lost over time. And you can see this here when we go on to a 1954 Sanborn map. Here's the property in question. And you can see, wow, a lot of stuff is gone. The applicant is proposing, I'm going to actually go over to their presentation, and it's a large file. Our wonderful tech person was trying to help me before, so this may go a little bit slow. But what they're proposing is to take, again, what is an existing open surface parking area and build a two-story carriage house, which if this... So these are some existing conditions. This is the view looking west, again, from that open parking lot that fronts onto Whitaker, side elevation of the 1841 house, the rear yard, surface parking. Here's the lane. As you can see, there are other two-story historic contributing carriage house buildings. Let me go very slowly because it's not being friendly. So here's the front elevation. It's a lovely building. Okay. So here's an example of one of the contributing carriage houses are outbuildings. This is the rear of the subject property. You can see they just have surface parking. There's a lot of surface parking along the lane, and part of the reason staff is supportive of this proposal is we feel it will hopefully serve as a catalyst or a model, however you want to phrase it, for kind of reestablishing the urban fabric, which has been lost as a result of all the demolitions. Sorry, bear with me. Okay, a large file. So here's the proposal. As I noted, there would be parking inside the carriage house as opposed to exposed, which, speaking in my own personal opinion, I think is much more visually compatible. I'm not a fan of surface parking lots. I think particularly for historic districts, they are about as bad as incompatible situation as you're going to find. So having the parking inside is far preferable. And then there would be this second story here. In terms of the architecture of what's being proposed, staff feels that it is visually compatible. It meets the standards. It's not competing with the architecture of the main house, but it's very compatible. It's deferential. The height we feel is appropriate, meets the standards, the proposed use of materials, the fenestration, the architectural details are all appropriate in our view. And I'm going to jump back here, hopefully, to my staff report. So in a nutshell, not sure why this is taking so long. Staff is recommending approval, but with some conditions. And then we can talk about the one issue that came up during our pre-meeting. So we are recommending approval for the request for new construction accessory buildings parts 1 and 2 at 140 West Liberty Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff because otherwise the work is visually compatible, meets the standards. It's really just there were a lot of things in this middle packet that were a little bit unclear for staff. Number one, provide clarification for all the colors for the proposed material palette, including for the fiber cement siding. Number two, provide clarification regarding the garage door material. I'm going to probably sound like a broken record. This was, you're going to be hearing a lot about garage doors. We often don't get enough information, in our opinion, on what the garage door will actually be made of. And when you're talking about a carriage house, the garage doors are, you know, often 50% of what you will see. So it's pretty important in our opinion. To ensure that an appropriate wood or wood composite door that meets the standards is proposed. Condition number three, provide additional information clarification on the proposed details for the windows, including the muntin size. Condition number four, provide additional information clarification on the proposed details for the shutters. And then number five, provide additional information clarification on the proposed details for any proposed meter boxes and HVAC units to ensure that they would be properly screened from the public right of way. Now, one thing, if you're right with the chair, that came up during our pre-meeting was the proposed balcony, which would be on the east elevation. Staff thought that having a balcony there, and I'm going to, well, let me get to the last page. I don't, yes, okay. So what we're talking about is right here. Staff felt that the overall site plan was very compatible with this alley. Many of the other contributing outbuildings or carriage houses that were not demolished have the same thing where you have it. It doesn't take up the full width of the frontage, and you have a little passageway. So we think that's actually really nice and compatible and meets the standards, visually compatible, and is something that you see a lot in Savannah. And so what they're proposing here is a small balcony on their property facing east. It would project 4 foot 8 inches, and it looks like that does not actually meet the standards, that it should not project more than 3 feet. And if you'll indulge me for a minute, it would be an interesting conversation not to have perhaps today, but about, you know, projections of balconies. This is something I worked on a lot, not boring you, in my previous position. We actually encourage balconies to project further rather than less, because we found in Washington that if we limited the projection of a balcony to just, say, 2 or 3 feet, what, particularly on apartment buildings or multifamilies, what ended up happening was they were used as storage. And so people would put their bikes on them or boxes or whatever, and no one actually used them. So our board, the Commission of Fine Arts, actually encouraged them to be usable so that people could actually sit on them and make them not used as just a storage area. Anyway, that's just my little point. So getting back to my staff report, here for any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, I just want to add on to what you said just now about balcony. So what we, so that everybody is aware and so it's on public record. So what we discussed during the pre-meeting was not only the depth of the balcony, but also the visual compatibility of the balcony, because we recognize that because there is so much fabric gone on this lane, that what we approve today is going to set a precedent for hopefully what gets put back in the future further along the lane. And so that's, we're taking that into consideration as well. So with that, does anybody have any questions for staff or anything they would like to say? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner like to come forward? Make sure you state your name for the record.
My name is Gretchen Callejas with Homestead Architecture. Let's see. I'm happy to provide staff with all of the information that they need. I'm sorry that it was not clear. And we will provide that. And I can reduce the balcony to 3 feet depth and make it visually more compatible in any way you need me to. But we like the balcony on that side. There was the passageway and the balcony, because I don't know how long a parking lot will be there. It'd be nice to have something. It looked so flat from Drayton. Anyways.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Nope. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Make sure you state your name for the record.
Hello, Andrew Jones, Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. Happy New Year, everybody. I too am concerned about the balcony. Can we, here we go, to slide 9. I did check the ordinance. A balcony is part of the structure, and of course the structure has to be 5 feet away from the wall, obviously, so that alone is a reason that the balcony doesn't comply. I also believe it's not visually compatible, as you mentioned. I find the support brackets rather odd that support it. Looks like shoring to me. And I also find that the large window there, again, is not visually compatible. You don't see large windows like that, certainly not on a contributing carriage house in its original state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Do we have any other public comment?
Sue Adler with Historic Savannah Foundation, and we support staff's recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Virtually? Yeah?
We do have Heidi Ellis, and I'm going to unmute.
Okay.
Hello. My name is Heidi Ellis. I am the owner of Unit 1A at 116 West Liberty Street, which is next door to this property. I have 4 questions that I would like clarified.
Okay.
The first is, why are setbacks not required on this new construction? 2, stormwater runoff does not seem to be addressed. There is a French drain that is located between the two properties that was installed over 15 years ago to address a flooding issue into the lower unit 1A of 116 West Liberty Street. My concern is that with a new construction and not having any type of stormwater runoff, we will see flooding again in that unit. Number three, there is a City of Savannah road sign that's located between the properties. Will this sign be removed or relocated? And number four, behind the sign, the trash cans for both properties, 114 West Liberty and 116 West Liberty, are located. I noticed in this design project there is no location for trash cans. Will the trash cans be able to remain in the same location? Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment, Heidi. In a second, we'll have the petitioner come up and address those questions.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
We do hear another person named Jason.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Jason Friedman. I'm the president of the Liberty West Condo Association. That's for the beautiful townhouse, four-unit townhouse next door at 116 West Liberty Street. And Heidi is one of the owners and who just spoke, and so am I. It's the carriage house seems like it's going to be built right up to the property line, and it does seem like there's a kind of bias against surface parking, but nevertheless, we have deeded parking spaces back there and people need to park. I'm actually concerned that the most left-hand most parking space, I mean, will drivers even be able to open their doors if the carriage house is built right up to the property line like that? So I also had the question of is no setback required? So.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Do we have anybody else that would like to comment? No? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward to address questions if you would like to respond?
My name is Gretchen Callejas. I'm with Homestead Architecture. Let's see. There are zero setbacks. So we can build to the lot line. We chose not to build to the lot line on either side. I think we're 3 feet off the lot line, or a little bit. I don't know where it is. A little bit off the lot line, really, because the overhang, the fascia, has to be within our property. So we are, whatever that distance is. In downtown, though, you are able to build to the lot line.
Right.
If that impacts the parking next door, I apologize. But they are allowed to do this. And we tried to make it also as wide as we could and meet the standards to give them the opportunity to park in it, instead of building a carriage house that is not allowed to have parking in it. As far as the balcony, again, we're allowed to build to our lot line, so that could actually get deeper, but we will reduce the depth to meet the guidelines. And then the door is there to provide access to the balcony. And the storm water runoff, I don't know how it will be more affected. Our water will drain to the lane and then to the garden. So I don't know how it would be any different. We can provide gutters and downspouts if needed. And the city sign, I don't know about that. The city will have to determine what they want to do with their sign.
Okay.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, I think that was all of them. It sounds kind of like maybe, excuse me, that you need to talk to the adjacent property owners to address their concerns outside of course. Form.
I'll let the owner do that.
Excuse me. Yeah.
I'll sit right here in case you have more.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
I actually have a question.
Do you have a question for her? Yeah.
I'm looking at the site plan and it appears to be 8 inches off the neighboring property.
That's correct. Whatever the overhang was, whatever it is to meet the...
So it is not to the exact line.
Right.
Line.
Okay, so the 8 inches is to the overhang or to the building? Because it looks like it's to the building.
It's to the building because your overhang must be within your property. So you can't build your wall all the way to the lot line because then your overhang is over your property.
How deep is the overhang?
8 inches.
8 inches.
overhang is to the lot line.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So the building itself is 8 inches off the neighboring property line, not a couple of feet, as you just said.
On that side. Right. Correct. That is correct. Okay.
Because I think to clarify, because it sounded like you said it's, you know, a few feet off the property line to the west side of the building, but it is not.
Correct. On this side, if it is 8 inches, then the overhang's 8 inches. Then on that west side, it's 8 inches. And on the other side, it's at least 5 feet. I don't remember the exact amount. Okay. And the trash cans, that was one other thing.
Yes.
The receptacles. The ones for 114 are inside, hidden in under the balcony.
Yes. That is notated on the plan. And go ahead.
Yes. One other question. Have you considered something more like a Juliet balcony?
I mean, if that's what we have to do to get it to pass, but this would allow them to go and sit on the balcony. Otherwise, they just open it and it's flat. So I can reduce it to 3 feet and make the and change it.
Go ahead, Ms. Rowe. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Is there not an opportunity to put the balcony facing the courtyard?
The access, not in the current design, no, how it's designed. And we talked about it with the owner. And if they lease it out or have an apartment at one time, then it's looking not into their house.
I just think that obviously that parking lot eventually will be developed into something. And
we hope.
Yes.
Hope so, yeah.
And then you're going to be staring at a wall. Not
well, it still gives them
an
opportunity to see a little bit off in the lane.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it provides, there's also an awning and then the balcony. And so as you walk through the buildings, it also provided some cover to take out the trash and do all that.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions before we go into board discussion? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be accepted. Mr. Becker, I will start with you.
Overall, I think this is a big improvement. I do have concerns about the eastern window that is really a door for the balcony. And I have this issue about the size of the balcony being 5 feet as opposed to 3. So I appreciate the applicant at least agreeing to move it to 3 feet, but I question the necessity of the balcony at any rate.
Okay, Ms. Thompson.
Well, I support staff recommendation, and if the applicant can address all the issues that the staff has raised after whatever action we take. Personally, I like the interest the balcony provides to the overall structure, and I could see this type of investment spurring further replacement, if you will, of structures along the lane. So I'm in support of it.
Can you bring the recommendations back up for us? Thank you. Ms. Quinn.
I agree with staff recommendations and do feel that we should add an additional condition to bring the balcony into compliance with the 3-foot standard at a minimum.
Ms. Rohn.
I agree with the previous comments.
Mr. Hull.
I agree with previous comments.
Mr. Higgins.
I do not find that balcony visually compatible. It sets a precedent that I'm just not comfortable with. It could be easily remedied by doing a Juliet balcony. So when you're looking at it from the lane, looking forward, you see just the very nice outline of the structure overall. But that balcony is just sort of visually jarring. And also when you look at the overhang over the entrance door and that, they're apples and oranges. There's no relationship between those two aspects of it. So I favor the overall design of the carriage house, but I do not favor that balcony.
I'll provide my own comments. I agree with what Mr. Higgins just said about the balcony. And I agree with all the other staff comments. We'll go around one more time. Mr. Becker.
No additional comments.
Ms. Thompson.
No other comments.
Ms. Gwen.
Nothing additional.
Ms. Rowan.
I will just say again, I think that it would be aesthetically more pleasing if the balcony was facing the courtyard. And I think that the future tenant or owner would use it more.
Okay, Mr. Cole.
No other comments.
Mr. Higgins.
No additional comment.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion.
Higgins.
Okay.
With regard to 114 West Liberty Street, 14 staff report 23-006362 COA, I move the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the request for new construction at 114 West Liberty Street with the five conditions staff has provided and the addition of a sixth, which is to omit or reconstruct, to omit the balcony from the east facade.
Why?
As it is not visually compatible.
Do I have a second?
Becker, second.
Okay, so the current motion on the floor is to approve with the following conditions, as outlined in the staff report, and to also add condition number six, to omit the balcony from the east facade as it is not visually compatible. And that was seconded by Mr. Becker. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hull?
No.
Ms. Rowan?
No.
Ms. Gwynn?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
No.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the motion does not pass. I need another motion, please.
Who? I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 23006362 COA at 114 West Liberty Street with the conditions as listed in the staff report with the addition of condition six, which is to reduce the width of the balcony to the...
You mean the depth? Sorry,
excuse me. The depth.
Yes, thank you.
The depth of the balcony to 3 feet.
Okay, do we have a second?
Thompson, second.
Okay, now the second motion on the floor is to approve the petition with the conditions as listed in the staff report and also to add condition number six to reduce the depth of the balcony to 3 foot as noted in the ordinance, and that was seconded by Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Nay.
Mr. Hull?
Yes.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Nay.
Okay, with that, the motion passed. We'll move on to the next and last item on the regular agenda, which is the petition of Ellsworth Design Build 23-006365-COA 139 Lincoln Street Fence.
Thank you, Jonathan Mellon. This is a relatively simple one. The property, as you noted, is 139 Lincoln Street. The applicant is requesting approval for the replacement or installation, however you want to phrase it, of a new fence in the rear yard. As per their application, what they're requesting is the new fence. It would be pine 1x6 vertical fencing up to 7 feet in height with a square lattice panel above of approximately 2 feet, bringing the tire height up to 9 feet. The plan is for it to align with the brick stucco on the building west of the courtyard. I'm sure you guys all know this charming little house constructed in 1886. It's actually part of a group of four. We did a little staff research, which we didn't include. But what's interesting is you look here in this photo on the upper left-hand corner. These front entrance porches had actually all been removed. I didn't know that. and they've all been brought back over the years. These houses have been kind of stripped of everything on the front in some of the photos that we have in our files. So the photo on your upper right-hand corner, right back here, where my cursor is a little hard to see, that is where they're proposing to replace the fence. So this is not going to have particularly profound visual impact on the historic district. I'm going to go into their submittal packet now just briefly, because I know there were some questions. Here's the summary of what they're proposing. Again, this photo may be a little bit clearer for you all to see. So right up here, where my cursor is, that's just along the back property line is what they're proposing to replace with what will be a new fence. This is another view you will not actually see. Sorry, this cursor is having some issues. You won't see it from this direction, but it was nice of them to include the photo in the packet. I know this was a little bit confusing, so I'm going to just skip that one and just go to the survey. But basically what they're proposing is along here, at the rear of their lot, putting in a new fence. Here's the design. Again, rising to a complete height of 9 feet with the 7-foot section and then the 2-foot decorative panel section at the top. Again, discussion of the materials and colors. So I'm going to go back to my staff report. It meets all the standards. As such, staff is recommending approval to install a fence in the rear yard for the property located at 139 Lincoln Street as requested, because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you, Jonathan. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
Just one really quick one. So this is a totally in-kind replacement?
Yes.
They're not moving it, correct?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. They're not moving the earth guard. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. Would the petitioner like to come forward? Just make sure you state your name for the record for us.
Hi, Abigail Powell, Ellsworth Design Build.
Do you have anything to add?
I don't.
Okay. I'll say it seems pretty straightforward. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Okay. I didn't think so. At this time, we will now enter into board discussion. Mr. Higgins, I'll start with you.
No comment. I support it.
Mr. Hull.
No comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Ms. Quinn.
No comments.
Mr. Thompson.
Just that it's a nice replacement.
Yep. Mr. Becker.
No comment.
Okay. Since nobody really had anything to say, we will now entertain a motion.
I'll motion.
Thank you, Mr. Becker.
I motion that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board review and approve petition 23006365 COA 139 Lincoln as requested because the submission is in compliance with the design standards and visual compatibility as set forth in the ordinance.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Okay, so the current motion on the floor is to approve as submitted, made by Mr. Becker and seconded by Ms. Rowan. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Hull.
Aye.
Ms. Rowan.
Aye.
Ms. Quinn.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
And Mr. Becker.
Aye.
Okay, with that, the motion has passed. So there are no items listed on the approved staff review or work performed without a certificate of appropriateness or items deferred to staff, notices, proclamations, acknowledgements. There is nothing, but I have an announcement, for other business before we adjourn today. So today is my last meeting. I am resigning because I am taking a position as the new director of preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. So I will be stepping down because obviously that is a conflict of interest. So Ms. Gwen, who is my vice chair, is going to be taking over the role of chair. And we will now discuss who wants to be the next vice chair. So you can either submit yourself, nominate yourself, nominate somebody. We can do a committee. That is kind of up to you guys. So
thoughts, opinions.
Don't everyone volunteer at once.
Yeah, don't volunteer all at once. Obviously, we have some positions, especially once I leave, that will need to be filled. So hopefully those will get filled sooner rather than later by City Council. But so encourage your friends to apply if they want to be on the board. Does anybody have any thoughts about being vice chair? You want to noodle it? Can they noodle it till next month? Yeah? Okay. So just think about it if you want to discuss among yourselves or nominate somebody or however you wish to handle that. That is completely up to you. It's kind of a weird moment for me because I've been on this board for just over 5 years. So it's kind of weird to be done today. But I'm excited for
congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited for to work with Sue and to keep things going forward. So you'll still see me every month. It'll just be from that podium instead of this one. So, okay. With that.
Well, before we move on, I would just like to speak on behalf of myself and my fellow board members. And thank you for your dedication, your service and your leadership. I think you've really left your mark on the city and it's a better place because of you and you should feel, very proud of your contributions.
Thank you.
It's nothing short of tremendous amount of responsibility and time and effort that goes into serving in a position like this and also in a leadership role like you have. So I'm thankful for your leadership, thankful for your service, and I just want to again say thank you and best wishes, and we're glad that we're not losing you. Just looking at you from a different angle, yep. I guess.
You'll see me from the front instead of from the side.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, making me cry. Anyway, thank you. I appreciate that. So the next pre-meeting will be here.
Ellie?
Yes.
I've got one question.
You're going to say something too?
Well, after the meeting, yeah, because it means you're in charge of the easements on my house.
Yes. yes, I will be.
Is staff no longer tracking work performed without a certificate of appropriateness and reporting that back to us? Because this is the second month we haven't had anything. And I know there are things lurking out there.
No, it's a good question. So we are still going out and looking at sites. We've been out to one site, I won't mention it, many times, and working with Ryan, who's no longer with HSF. They've been great about alerting us to some of the work that's been going on. So we will be providing you with that in February. We've been going through a bit of a transition, and a staff member who we've been relying on has been out due to a death in her family. So, but yes, we have. I don't want you to think we haven't been. We've been filling emails, calls every day about work, and we've been following up with the city in terms of enforcement.
That's a good catch. Anything else before I adjourn? Go ahead.
I would just like to thank the board and MPC staff for your condolences for my wife.
Of course. You're welcome. Okay. The adjournment. The next pre-meeting is February 14th at noon in this room, and then regular meeting starts at 1:00. And Ms. Gwen will lead you from then on. Okay. We are adjourned.